welcome to week 76 of the Two Guys Into Fridays podcast. My name is Steven. That over there is Travis.
I saw you this morning already, Steve.
Did. It's like we're recording at like 9:10 in the morning, and we drop our kids off at the same daycare at like 8:45, so.
Yep, there was Steve.
We're recording early today. I mean, this is early for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's. I think we're both looking forward to, like, I don't know about looking forward to, but looking ahead to a busy week. So yeah,
and we got to get. It feels good for some reason, though. Like, I feel like Adam, you know?
Like Adam?
Like, no, like A-T-E-M, like two words, like Adam.
You feel Adam.
Not like.
Sure.
You feel like
a go-getter.
Yeah, like I feel better about this than I do in the afternoon for some reason.
And we got the rest of the week off. We don't have to worry about it at all.
All right. See what happens, I guess.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
Thanks to Casey Haddon for the theme song this week.
Thanks, Casey.
And you can go find his stuff, soundcloud.com/Casey Haddon. Also, while you're online, make sure you follow us at TGIFcast. That's everywhere you can type that in that we care about. And also send us emails with your theme songs or whatever else you want to send, TGIFcast@gmail.com.
I need to follow up and see if there's been any change to the YouTube situation, although I doubt it.
I've given up on it. But eventually we just need to pick something, right? Like what is it, YouTube.com?
I don't want to just pick something.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I don't want to just pick something. I want to wait and see if anything changes. I want to just let it ride.
So we're going to talk about the shows that aired when this week, Travis.
These shows aired March 1st, 1991.
Okay, and we do like to see what was going on in the world 30 years ago that week, and a couple things, I guess. More exciting bombings. Have you ever heard of the Highway of Death?
Is that in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait?
Yeah, it was like, so coalition planes bomb Iraqi forces retreating from Kuwait during the Gulf War, killing hundreds and creating the so-called Highway of Death. And there's just this picture of just like a billion cars on the side of the road blown up. It's kind of sad.
I've never seen the pictures. I don't know if I need to, but I've heard of it. Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with the idea.
And then I guess the reason why we've never talked about James Brown on this podcast is because he's been in jail prison the last 2 years and got out on February 27th, 1991.
Yeah, but I mean, he was sentenced to 6, and he only was in for 2, so I guess he was doing, you know, good behavior and all that stuff.
But he's been in prison the entire time we've been doing this show.
I mean, people go to prison for stuff, man.
Not everyone. How many times have you been in prison?
0.
Okay. What about movies and music? What was number one this week?
So, movies is, once again, Silence of the Lambs, and I went back and watched Hannibal and Red Dragon this weekend. So I think the only ones I have left are Hannibal Rising. I feel like there's another movie I'm forgetting about, though, but whatever.
Nah.
So watch Red Dragon and Hannibal. You know, they're fine. And then for songs, new song. Okay. It is Whitney Houston, All the Man That I Need.
So I think she just won some Grammys. So they're like, oh, let's release another single.
And I'm pretty sure this song also gets nominated for a Grammy. I mean, this is, you know, early 90s, mid 90s. This is like peak Whitney Houston, and she was incredible. So
I finally started watching WandaVision this week.
So, because you're not a superhero guy.
I'm not, no. And there's a lot of inside stuff on it, too.
Very much. It's super inside baseball.
Yeah.
But it's not very superhero-y.
It's not.
It's different.
Are you caught up on it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Also directed by Matt Shakman. You need to mention that. Of Just the Ten of Us fame. But what do you think?
It's all right. I finished episode 5, but I was kind of sleepy on episode 5.
Well, that was the big one. That was the big reveal one.
What did it tell me?
Isn't that at the end where the one character comes back? At the door? I don't want to give too much away.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is. Yeah. Is that her son?
Her brother.
Her brother. That's right. Yeah.
Her brother.
Is that a big reveal?
That was a huge reveal.
Is he a superhero?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you don't want to know about WandaVision past episode 5, pause, fast forward 30 seconds, a minute, whatever. That's her brother. Her brother is Quicksilver, Pietro. The big deal is the fact that the actor that is playing Quicksilver on the show was not the actor who played Quicksilver in the Marvel Universe. He was the actor that played Quicksilver in the X-Men universe.
They so did say something kind of, like, oh, they recasted Pietro.
Right, right, right. So it's kind of this gap, this bridge now that Disney owns Fox and owns the rights to X-Men. It's kind of this first bridge of these two worlds. Although there's a lot of speculation.
He played them in the like new class stuff, right?
Right. And yeah.
Whatever those
so, but there's also a lot of speculation and theory on like what, if it actually is Quicksilver or Pietro, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
What it means. It's there's a lot of WandaVision theory.
So
WandaVision is probably one of the most highly like fan theory shows I've seen in a long time.
So but. Wanda and Vision, are they the same actors as they are in the Avengers movies?
They are.
Okay.
They
are. See, I didn't
yes,
even know
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they are the same. And you know who Wanda is, right? You know like
she's
who the actress
Scarlet
is?
Witch? Oh no, the actress?
Yeah.
No, what's she from?
Well, it's not who what she's from, it's who she's related to that's important to this podcast.
No, I don't know.
She's Elizabeth Olsen. She's Mary Kate and Ashley's sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way more talented than the other two.
I think she's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say way more talented because I think that we're comparing apples and oranges.
Doing much better with her life than the other two are.
I mean, the other ones are like close to billionaires, so I'm not sure.
Close to death every time I see them too.
Well, I don't know, but that's not true or nice. But
put them on my deathbed next year.
Anyways, that's Elizabeth Olsen is the sister of Mary Kate and Ashley.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
All right, we're not a WandaVision podcast. We're a TGIF podcast. We're going
to
get into
it. It would take hours to be a WandaVision podcast.
There's probably 20 of them already. Full House, Season 4, Episode 21. The name of the episode is The Hole in the Wall Gang. So it starts off, Joey is moving into his new room. He's moving into Uncle Jesse's old room, right?
He is. And it always shocks me how much stuff, like they really, whenever anybody moves in this show, they always make a point to show that like, I've got all this stuff I've got to move, even though they live in these small, tiny rooms by themselves.
He's got a bunch of Popeye dolls, I guess you would say. And Michelle comes in. She's helping carry some of this stuff. I think she's actually carrying Popeye, right?
She is. She is. And he's like, watch out, watch out. Careful on the legs. And you think she's going to be walking in with like a chair or a table or something, but it's just the Popeye doll.
Yeah. She then asks Joey why he plays with dolls, and he says he doesn't play with dolls, but then he starts doing all the voices of all of them, playing with them, and then realizes, wait a minute, I do play with dolls, but it's in a manly way, is what he says.
Right, right.
And course. Then they sing the Popeye song together. It's very cute, and then that's the end of your Cute Michelle clip intro for this
whoa,
week.
Whoa, what? Whoa, that is not the end of the Cute Michelle clip is when she also does the
does the Popeye
like,
laugh.
Does all the Popeye laugh and the sound, and she does like the
I
snarl
said they
with her
sang
lips.
It together.
Yeah, but it's more than just that.
She's doing
super
it.
Cute
she's doing the
it.
Joey version of the song, like Popeye.
And it's adorable.
Impression. Yeah,
it's
it is.
Adorable.
I said it was cute. All right. After the theme song, we come back. Jesse is putting new plumbing in the attic. I guess if you forgot, Joey or Jesse has a very big construction background. He knows how to do everything.
Well, he is a man of many talents. I mean, we've seen him be an exterminator. We've seen him be in a band. He's a man of many talents.
All I can think of is playing music and riding motorcycles, and that's it.
He was an exterminator for a while. We know that.
So he's up there. We find out that he has turned off the water because Danny comes in. He's got shampoo in his hair. And of course he did it right while he was taking a shower.
Right, right, of course.
Kimmy, I think we go to DJ.
I also like that he squeegees the shampoo off of Danny's.
Oh yeah, pretty funny. We go to DJ and Stephanie's room, which is just or kind of just DJ's room, but it's becoming DJ and Stephanie's room again. Kimmy's up there. She's asking DJ what she thinks about her orange lipstick. And Stephanie comes in. She's moving her stuff back into the room.
Yeah. And the DJ and Kimmy are like doing this whole like makeup, playing with makeup, putting on makeup, whatever, when Steph comes in.
Yeah. And Stephanie kind of wants to be like DJ. I mean, we've seen this in the past. She's trying to like act like her, dress like her, do makeup like her, that kind of stuff. And DJ and Kimmy are pretty mean to her, I thought, in this scene.
Well, this is the kind of like I'm an adult teenager now, and you're a kid, and we don't have time for you. And now you're also moving back into my room, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt mean to me. Like I had to write it down that specifically that it felt a little too much. But from
sure,
here we go to the attic. It's looking nice. Like they're getting the walls of the drywall up, patching some stuff, putting some walls up. It's looking good, right? Coming along.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and it seems like he's moving pretty quick too.
Yeah, and they do give him a hard time, though, I think, Becky and Joey, about how long it's taking. They think it should be quicker than it is. And he's like, I just want to do it right. I don't want to mess it up. I want to take my time and do it right the first time. And they're all just like pressuring him to speed up. Joe even offers to try to help with this thing too.
Right, right, right. And the reason that they're kind of giving him a hard time is he's been putting in this switch and it took him like 2 weeks just to put in a single switch. Although drywalling seems like it would take forever. And that seems really well far along.
Yep. So from here we go to DJ and Stephanie's room. Michelle comes in, and Stephanie is trying to like decorate her room like more of like a teenager would. Like she's got a Nelson poster she's hanging up, and
good call on the Nelson poster.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And she's trying to get rid of all her kids' stuff. She's given like a whole like little box shopping cart thing of toys to Michelle at the same time.
Yeah. It's a completely different look. It looks almost identical to kind of the theme that DJ's got going on.
Yep, and Stephanie is even wearing clothes like DJ would be wearing, and has, I think at this point, she's teased her hair as well, right?
She has.
Does Danny walk in at this point, or someone? I feel like someone came in and mentioned the like clothing stuff. Maybe Becky and
Well,
Danny.
DJ and Kimmy come in and they say something, and that's kind of the first I noticed, because they're wearing the exact same outfit, uh-huh. Same color top, same style top, same color like pants or whatever those were, and I mean they're dressed exactly alike. And then Danny and Becky come in.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, it's so cute that you want to dress up like your sister or whatever," but they end up leaving. Kimmy and DJ think that they need to wear something else, or at least DJ does. So they go into Danny's room, where DJ's plan is to get like a button-up shirt and a tie to wear to the mall.
I didn't know that was a style in the 90s for like everyday casual wear, but
I mean, okay. Yeah. So Stephanie, of course, wants to go to the mall. She wants to dress like them. She also wants to get a shirt. They end up opening up Danny's closet. DJ finds a shirt. Stephanie sees ones just like it. They both start pulling these shirts and ends up pulling the entire rod that's hanging up, like 100 button-up shirts, down on the ground, and they know that they are in trouble now.
And I think it's important to note, too, that the button-up shirts pretty much all look alike. The pants pretty much all look alike, and they're all labeled for what day of the week that Danny is supposed to wear.
Labeled, color-coordinated. Like, there's not much difference in the colors, but they are separated, like, perfectly, like you would expect Danny's closet to be.
Right. So they pull down this rod, though.
Yep. They pull down the rod, and then they're, like, fighting over the rod, right?
Well, on who's going to fix it.
Who's going to fix it?
Yeah, that's what they're arguing over. Is that they're both trying to take it from each other so that they can fix it.
Oh, okay.
Because DJ says, I need to fix this. And then, of course, Stephanie being, you know, in the mindset she's in right now, is like, well, I'll fix it. And then...
Yeah, imagine like an 8 to 10 foot like wooden rod, one of them at each end, pulling on each side. Eventually, Steph lets go. DJ's end of the rod flies backwards and puts a giant 2 to 3 foot hole in the wall next to the closet.
Yeah, it tears a hole in the wall.
So, yeah, of course, they're worried about this whole thing. Kimmy just gets out of there. And Michelle,
she's like, I'm out. I'll talk to you all later.
Michelle's just like, you girls will never learn. And then that's kind of probably where we go to commercial break and come back after that.
Yeah, I think this is where she says you're in big trouble, mister, which seems like not a big deal. But based on my research, this is the last time she ever says it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't even write down she said that. I just wrote down, you girls will never learn. So maybe she said both things.
Because at this point, like, we're just used to it, right? It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but
maybe that's why.
It is kind of a big deal in this episode because we'll never hear it again.
Wow. So after the commercial, we come back. DJ is freaking out about this damage. They figure out that they're going to have to fix this whole thing. I mean, they're going to have to get it done. They can't tell their dad what they did. They've got to get it fixed. And DJ has this idea that they can go to the attic and get Mr. Fix-It himself, Uncle Jesse, to at least tell them what to do, I guess.
I'm going to be honest. This is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they should probably just... like fess up, but they're kids and that's not going to happen.
But they already know he has all the equipment because he's doing that kind of work upstairs.
Yep. And they know he's probably distracted or doesn't want to pay attention to them anyway. So he'll just kind of tell them whatever they're asking without giving it much thought. This is not a bad idea.
So yeah, they go upstairs. They kind of say, well, if you had a hole, what would you do to fix it? And he kind of gives him like a quick answer. You need this, this, and this. And they're like, all right. And then like when he's not looking, I think they tell him that the window's crooked or something.
Right.
And while he's looking at the window, they grab the like four or five material things that they need. go right back downstairs to go fix this wall.
And real quick note, speaking of drywall people, the drywall guy just showed up at my house. So there's noise in the background, I apologize, but that is in fact for real somebody doing drywall.
Do you want to interview him and ask him if this was a good idea?
I don't. I try to interact just because I don't want to like make people uncomfortable with the whole COVID thing and they're already in a stranger's house. But
all right. So from here, Jesse is going over to, they've got one of those like, I guess it's mechanical like Murphy beds, right? This one's like electric, yeah, it's like though, right?
It's like a Murphy bed, but yeah, you're right. It's electric.
Yep. And Jesse is finishing the like switch on it or something and like is inside of the bed, like trying to get the wiring right. And while he's messing with it, the bed shuts into the wall and locks him inside. Joey's there to try to save the day, but Jesse has not actually installed the switch for it yet on the outside, so there's no way to open this bed back up while he's stuck inside.
That's correct. And so Jesse sticks his head through the closet that's next to the bed. Joey opens the closet door, and there's Jesse's head just poking into the closet.
Yeah, and pretty funny, like, Joey reaches in and says, I've always wanted to do this, and just, like, messes up Jesse's hair while he's at it.
And this never really gets resolved, so it's safe to assume that Jesse is still in this closet as of today, right?
Well, he wants Joey to cut him out of the wall. Like,
that's the only way he's going to get him out. But we never see anything happen.
I don't know why they just assume. He just can't, like, I don't know, get, like, a bar or a crowbar or something and just pull the bed back down.
I mean, maybe the motor, it just won't, like,
I would try that first before I would try to cut a hole in the wall.
I tell you, though, it's probably cheaper and easier to cut a hole in the wall than to potentially screw up the motor that's driving the bed.
Yeah, and I guess if Jesse knows how to do drywall and already has the equipment up there, right? What's another?
Well, it's not even drywall. I mean, that was just like carpentry. That was, which is, you know,
that's worse.
Difficult in and of itself, but
I don't know. We don't know the situation behind this bed. Like, maybe there's a way he can get out through the drywall, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think Jesse needs to put a little bit more effort in on his side before they start destroying stuff.
But Joey demands an apology from Jesse first to let him out of this room. Like, he's like, you've been giving me a hard time about all this and like helping out and stuff. If you don't give me an apology, I'm not letting you out of this bed whole room thing.
Right.
So then we go to, I think we're up in DJ and Stephanie's room from here.
We're in Danny's room.
Okay. So they're on Danny's phone, I guess, because DJ's on the phone with Kimmy.
Yeah, I guess. All I know is at this point they're in Danny's room and they show that they have fixed the hole in the wall.
Oh, wait.
And it looks bad. It's like all bumpy. And somehow they got matching paint to paint over the hole, which is pretty impressive. But
I mean, it's the same color as the attic.
That's true. But it's just not smooth. Like, you can obviously see that they did repairs.
Yep. And DJ's got a new idea, though. Obviously, he's going to know that this hole was plastered over and whatever. So we can just move the dresser over right in front of this hole, and he will never know. We'll also just move everything over 3 inches, like the coat rack and the pictures on the wall and everything that's in this corner. So there's no way that he will know that we scooted this dresser over in front of this hole.
Because Danny knows exactly where everything in his room is, and that's why they have to do all this kind of nuanced rearranging.
Yep, and while they're doing this, they hear Danny arrive downstairs, and they quickly send Michelle down there to distract him so they can quickly move everything that they need to move over in front of this hole.
Right. And Michelle goes down there, does Danny like a little cheer, and then she says her phone number, and then she says her phone number with her eyes closed.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Very impressive. And then Danny knows something's up.
Yeah.
So he starts.
Michelle's like, they're not doing anything wrong. He's like, well, that's how I know they're doing something wrong. And then she tries to block him on the stairs, and he ends up picking her up and carrying her up the stairs. And she's yelling, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, the whole time while she's being carried up to his room. And then eventually when they get up there, we get a he's here from Michelle. And Danny finds Stephanie and DJ still in the room. But they were able to quickly enough move everything in front of this hole, right?
They were. They got it done.
And he's like, what are you girls doing in my room? And she's like, well, we are writing a song about you, and we needed some inspiration from your room for the lyrics, I guess. And then they start singing this song that they wrote for Danny.
Well, Stephanie does the worst possible thing that you can do when put on the spot to sing a song that you're making up, which is, instead of just one of them taking the song and singing it, she's like, let's sing it together. Never do that. Never, ever do that.
And the words are like, dad, 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 dad. And then there's like, and then DJ's like, take it, Stephanie. Or I don't know who goes first, but then they add like a couple lines. And then like, Stephanie's like,
you clean your room with a mop and a broom or something like that.
Not a great song, not very convincing, but for some reason, it seems like Danny has fallen for it.
He buys it. He buys it. And in the meantime, while they're singing this song too, it's important because he starts to take his jacket off and his tie off and he's hanging them up, except he's going through it like muscle memory. So when he goes to hang the jacket up, it's the hanger's not there and it just falls and everything just falls on the ground that he tries to hang up.
Puts his wallet on the dresser and just drops it on the ground because it's not there. So, I mean, they think that they've got it though. They think they've gotten away with it. I think they're back in the bedroom, in their bedroom now. Michelle's in there. She comes in. She starts singing the dad song, and then we get a weird, like, added-on scene here where we get, like, sad Stephanie, where she's, like, all upset because Michelle's trying to be like her, and then we get, like, the tie back to the beginning where DJ was getting upset because Stephanie was just following her too much and trying to be like her, and then we kind of get the sad heart-to-heart with DJ and Stephanie saying, well, you're a cool kid, but you just need to take your time and eventually you'll be where I'm at and it's okay because Michelle wants to be like you and you want to be like me and it'll all just kind of circle around at the end.
Yeah, yeah. This is the resolution for the girls' conflict and Steph realizes that enjoy being a kid. One day you'll be a cool teenager like me. So,
who thinks DJ's a cool teenager though? Kimmy?
Steph does. Steph does.
Steph does. Okay.
DJ appears to be one of the more popular kids
in school? Not right now. There's no way.
You don't think so?
No. She's like, it's just her and Kimmy by themselves, and then everyone else is cool. She has not hit the cool phase yet. I don't think she's going to hit the cool phase until she meets Steve or something.
The moral of this episode, though, is that Steph thinks she's cool and wants to be like her.
Of course.
Yes.
So then Michelle comes in the room, and she's dressed exactly like DJ and Stephanie. So all three of them are lined up with their teased hair and their early 90s like dresses on or whatever they're wearing. And then Danny comes in and we think that he has figured it out, this whole hole in the wall situation. But the only thing that he had actually noticed was the baking soda that he kept in his drawer had been moved over like an inch or two. And he knows that one of them touched his baking soda. And then they all go back into the dad, dad, dad song. And that's the end of the episode.
And they get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it. I don't know if it's going to come back. Like, eventually,
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Do you think he'll ever move his... I mean, do you think he's going to leave his dresser there for the rest of the time they're living in this house?
Possibly. I mean, how often do you move your dresser? I mean, I think once you get it to where it is, you kind of leave it unless you get a new dresser. But one thing that I did see, and I didn't go back and watch it, but evidently this episode, the whole specifically, is mentioned in the first episode of Fuller House. So
is it?
I wonder if there's kind of a scene where they're in the bedroom again. I assume now it's DJ's bedroom and their hole's there and they say something about the hole. But
yeah, if they're smart, they know they've bought themselves some time and like, next time he's gone, they'll go and sand it or something like that.
They'll go and sand it down.
Yeah.
Possibly.
All right. So we do have Family Matters is the other show we have this week, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Family Matters.
All right. So this is season 2, episode 20. The name of the episode is Fight the Good Fight. And I feel like this is a real serious episode.
Very much so. Yeah. This is one of those kind of, I don't want to say like, well, I will say like after school special style episodes.
So it starts off, we get a cute Richie clip. Carl and Richie are fixing a vacuum cleaner. Carl is really the one trying to fix it, and Richie's being the assistant. Whenever Carl needs something, he just hands it over to him. So he goes, right. Screwdriver, pliers, lollipop, and then Richie puts the lollipop in his mouth, turns on the vacuum, it smokes, and little Richie says, I think it's a goner, Uncle Carl. And then that's kind of the end of the intro scene. But that the vacuum does play a role throughout the entire episode.
It's our comic relief throughout this episode.
Yep.
Every time things get real heavy, there's these moments with a vacuum cleaner just to give you a little bit of a laugh.
All right. So the episode starts off does it go right into it? I think it does, right? Or maybe this could be a little time later, but we're in the living room. Laura, Estelle, and Harriet are in the kitchen.
No, they're all there together. They're all there in the
right kitchen. I don't know. But Carl's still repairing the vacuum. Laura is talking about how it's Black History Month and they're learning at school. But she also feels that it shouldn't just be a month. There's plenty of history to learn, and she thinks it's to be something that should taught for more than a month, and that's what she's kind of talking to her mom and her grandmother about at this point.
Right, and then there's this kind of whole, like, back and forth round robin situation where they all kind of name famous or really unknown, you know,
black like inventors icons. Or yeah. just people who've done something, right?
Right, exactly.
And then, of course, at the end of the scene, we go back to Carl, and he has failed once again at fixing this vacuum cleaner.
And it's the same gag over again where he turns it on and it blows up again.
All right, so from here we go to Laura and Steve's school, right? We're in the school cafeteria. It's normal cafeteria. There's a little food fight that gets broken up. They're in the lunch line.
For, like, really no reason. The food fight was a total, like, non sequitur to everything else that was going on.
Maybe to lighten up the episode a little, too? I don't know. Maybe
that's, possibly. Yeah. But get it where you can, I guess.
Steve comes into the cafeteria, and he immediately, like, butts in line and gets right,
cuts everybody.
Right next to Laura in line. He talks to the principal at this point. Have we seen this principal before?
I don't believe so. I think this is it's Principal Shimada, and I believe this is his first episode.
And I guess he's Japanese, and Steve knows fluent Japanese, and he's like talking, ah, Principal Shimato-san. And, you know, they're just talking back and forth in Japanese, saying stuff about the day and school and stuff like that. And then Miss Steubens, is she a new character as well?
She's not. She was not in the episode, the wedding episode where they, you know, they got married in class. She was the teacher for that episode as well.
Okay. So she is also the history teacher at the school, and she is also like a lunch monitor, at least for right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She's doing her turn as the lunch monitor.
So she had to break up the food fight, and then now she's dealing with Steve because Steve is singing and she is getting annoyed by it.
Well, yeah. So Steve goes and sits with Maxine and Laura, and as he's unpacking his lunch, he has this like placemat with Laura's picture on it, and the utensils are already, I guess, Velcroed or something to the placemat. And so he's singing while he's doing all this, and she comes over and says, are we going to do this every day, Steve? It's like, yes.
Yep. And then Laura has an announcement to make. She's been talking to Maxine about it, and she decides, all right, now's the time. So she stands up in the middle of the cafeteria to make this very important announcement for her idea about Black history at the school. And while she's doing this, of course, Steve is trying to, like, chime in. And, like, it's not making her pitch very, clear to the school because of how much Steve is interrupting her.
Well, right, right. He keeps interrupting and she just can't get it out.
So Laura's idea is she wants to add a Black history class to the curriculum. Like, make it another choice that you can take for history at the school, which is a great idea, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And it seems like everyone in the school likes the idea, at least the people that we're seeing right now in the cafeteria. And she's got a petition for people to sign to hopefully get enough signatures to show that there's enough interest in this class to make it part of the curriculum.
Right, and Miss Steuben is all in, and she wants to be the first person to sign, and then Urkel's number two, and all the kids line up to start signing these petitions.
And I think Steve even gets upset that he wasn't the first one to sign it too with Miss Steuben.
You think so? I think he actually said that.
Like, I think they made it very clear that he was upset. That he was annoyed because she jumped in front of his chance.
Well, I think it means a lot that the teacher was the first signer. But
yeah, sure. So
I missed that. So whatever.
They then go to either later in the day or another day, getting more signatures. They're showing Urkel getting signatures. The basketball team's coming out of practice. And Urkel actually grabs the ball and, like, schools one of the basketball players. Like, he is a great dribbler and is able to, like, fake out one of these basketball players enough to get them interested and then to then sign the petition as well.
We know Jaleel White was like, look, you got to let me do this. I can do this.
Yeah, it's good. Hopefully we see more basketball Urkel. And I think we do. I think we do get some episodes.
I'm pretty sure we do.
All right. So all the basketball players sign it. And Laura comes out. She's very excited because she's got a bunch of signatures. Steve's got a bunch of signatures. And then as Urkel, what is that right here? Urkel.
This was a bit of levity. He kind of stumbles back. He walks backwards away from Laura. And as he's doing that, he kind of knocks into a bunch of people who bump into this dude who's carrying this big dinosaur model, this like dinosaur skeleton model, falls over, all breaks up. Again, let's get one quick laugh in. Just got to get a quick in
because it's about to get serious. So after the scene of everyone tripping and falling and knocking over a dinosaur, Laura turns around. She finds out that her locker is open And there is a note inside that says, if you want black history, go back to Africa.
Right.
So it's getting serious. The racial tensions in this school are real right now. And then outside of her locker, someone has spray painted the N-word right across the entire locker.
Yeah. And I mean, it's there. We see it. And what I was reading is that evidently in the reruns that they would play on Nick at Night and whatnot, they actually cut this scene before she shuts her locker. So you don't see that. You hear her read the letter, and that's kind of what.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's very important that it is left in here because it shows like how serious it is right now. Like in the,
I agree.
Not just at her school, but just the way things were in the time in 1991, I guess.
It still are in a lot of ways.
And still are, especially on Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia.
Absolutely.
All right, so from here we go back to the Winslow house. Carl and Harriet are talking about what happened at school. I guess they already know what's going on. Carl's very upset. He thinks that something needs to be done. I mean, this shouldn't be happening at the school that their daughter goes to. And he's kind of just feeling pretty helpless right now. Like, he doesn't think he can do anything to change what's going on. And Laura's upstairs just crying her eyes out in her room.
Yeah, and Harriet says that, you know, every time she stops crying, she just starts again. So it's just been, it's been an awful experience.
So, I mean, anything else about that scene before we go the next
day?
Well,
the only other thing that I took away from that was Harriet kind of talks to Carl about how, you know, when she was a kid, she had to go through this, and she had hoped that by the time that her kids were old enough that they wouldn't have to go through this. But she's really sad that this is still the situation that they live in.
Yep. So we go to maybe the next day, maybe a couple days later. Laura is coming home from school. She's upset again. She feels like all of the black kids and the white kids are separating. Like, she didn't feel like that this was going on really before this whole idea. And she thinks that this whole new racial tension at the school is because of her wanting this black history class.
Yeah, and she said that you know, the black kids aren't talking to the white kids, and they're not sitting together at lunch, and they're really, the whole school is just divided right now.
Yep, she feels everything is her fault. And then Estelle is in there listening to all this, and she asks her parents if she can have a little alone time with Laura to talk to her.
Yes, so yeah, Estelle wants to kind of tell her story.
So she tells Laura the story about when she grew up, there was a library in her town. She had seen all of the wonderful books that weren't being read and that could be read. And she wasn't allowed in the library because she was black, and she really wanted to go in there to read the books. So one day, I want to say it was raining or something outside. She goes into the library. There was a white man working in there that she had known who had been friendly in the past, but he ends up kicking her out of the library, even though, I mean, they were kind of friends. Like, they knew each other from town.
And she says that he pushed her out. So I wonder if, I mean, you can take that for what you will, but I kind of got the idea that he like physically got physical her with from her the library. Yeah.
So, they kicked her out, told her never to come back. And, what she did though, was every single day she went back to the library for 6 months until one day, she was scared. She didn't, I don't know. It was hard for her, but another rainy day she walked in. The same man was there. She saw her. He knew that she had been doing this every day for 6 months. And this one day, he decided to give her a library card. And then from that day on, everyone could use that library. It was then free for whites and blacks to use that library after that.
Yep. The persistence paid off.
She then pulls out the actual library card that she was given that day, gives it to Laura, and tells her, this is proof that one person can make a difference. And then they hug. And then I think this is what makes Laura realize that she needs to keep pushing for what she wants as well.
Exactly. Fight the good fight, right?
Yep. So then we go back to the school, probably the next day, who knows. Laura, Maxine, and Steve are in the cafeteria, and they have decorated it for, I guess, Black History Month. It's probably still February.
Yeah, I think it's Black History, but I also think it's with the intent of just kind of not letting it die and putting it in the forefront.
Yep. So they have hung up posters and pictures about black,
pioneers, sure, you know, like people all kinds like of to things. Push. Yeah. Scientists, you know, athletes, famous black people.
Yep. Everything looks great. Laura thanks Steve for all the help he's done through all this. Miss Steuben and principal, what did you say?
Shimada.
His name? Shimada. They come in. And the principal actually kind of freaks out for a second. Like, he feels like that these posters are going to be a problem. He feels like the racial tensions that have been going on in the school have been too much lately, and that this might even escalate things even more.
Yep, and he actually tells them they need to take it down. But doesn't have the chance. That's what he says. Yeah. So, exactly, but he doesn't have the chance because the bell rings.
Yep, bell rings. Black and white kids come in the door, and they're all, like, reading the posters. Like, everyone's taking a look at these things. And it actually seems like the posters are bringing the kids back together. Like, they're realizing these things they didn't know. They're talking about it, and it seems like these posters are doing a great job.
Right, and another note here on one of the, I guess, extras. The guy who talked about the heart transplant, the story about that.
Yep, yep.
He was one of the orderlies from the Perfect Strangers episode where they go to the hospital to interview the football player, uh-huh, the one that McKenna was in. He was one of the orderlies that came into the hospital room while they were in that scene.
Okay, cool. So in this scene too, this is when they try to pitch the Black History class to Mr. Shimada again, and Mr. Shimada eventually caves in. He sees that this could be a good thing, and he tells Laura that she can pitch her idea at the next, like, school board meeting that they have.
Yeah, yeah, she's getting there.
Yep, so she's excited about this. And then Steve and Mr. Shimada have another Japanese conversation where they talk about Mr. Shimada should go ahead and just ask Miss Steuben out on a date to him.
Right, right.
All right, so then we go 1 month later. Carl is still fixing this vacuum cleaner with Richie. They fail
again. Just buy a new vacuum at this point. It's been a month. You can't fix it.
Yep. They fail again. Doesn't work. Smoke everywhere. Laura gets home. She is smiling. We found out that she gave her pitch at the meeting. It went well, and she thinks that they are going to get this class at her school.
That's it. Yep.
She thanks Estelle, her grandma, and tells her that she was right. One person definitely can make a difference. And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Good one. Yeah, tough one for a lot of people, I'm sure, that were watching it too.
I'm sure it was, yeah, and tough to make, I imagine.
Yeah. So only two episodes this week. Kind of interesting to rank these two. I mean, they're very different episodes. I think I'm putting Family Matters at one and Full House at two, though.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
A good change of pace. Not the normal everything we had, and it felt right, I guess.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was a really good episode.
All right, so next week on the show, what do we got going on, Travis?
Next week, we've got a new episode of Full House, Season 4, Episode 22. Family Matters is in reruns. We have got a new show next week.
Whoa, is this Baby Talk?
Baby Talk, Baby Talk, Episode 1, Season 1, Episode 1. We do have it. We will watch it. I got to get it to Steve. So actually, I think we've got it saved. So it might be already be on the drive. But Baby Talk Season 1, Episode 1, and then the final episode of Going Places, Episode 19. Man. Also have that. I believe that one actually is on YouTube. So anybody can go watch that. So
it's a big week next week.
Three shows, one new show,
one series finale.
Series finale. Yeah, it's a big week next week.
All right. Thanks once again to Casey Hatton for the theme song this week.
Yeah, Casey. Thanks again.
Follow us online everywhere at TGIFcast. Send your emails TGIFcast@gmail.com. And we'll be here next week for those new episodes for you.
Absolutely. Have a good week, Steve.
You got it, dude.
TBA Podcast.